Look at Easy. Absolutely. What a crew we have today. Welcome to the Hey Frage podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Frazier, along with Easy Street, who is a legendary DC radio personality.
Legendary, come on now, man. Come on. Legend, though?
Yes, you've had a long career in this business. I mean, for radio, seriously, right? We've all been in multiple markets.
Yes.
And, you know, if you last a couple years, that's like good. But how, I mean, when you were on 93.9 in the afternoon, how many years did that streak go?
Oh, well, I was there twice, actually.
So,
to give you the rundown, okay, I came here in 1995.
Okay.
I was on KYS from 95 until 99.
I was reading about that because at the time they were trying to make you and Big Tigger radio rivals, right?
Yes, me and him battled. That's my dude. What up, Big Tig?
Are you all friends now?
Oh, absolutely.
Were you friends then?
One thing that I'll tell you about this, Sarah, is this. Everyone that I've competed against in this game in radio, we've always been cool.
Really?
Yes.
Now,
in the beginning of my career, it wasn't really like that. But as I got older, this business is so small.
And, it's the truth.
You know, really, for real, at the end of the day, it's like wrestling. We talked about this whole wrestling thing before we came on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. WWE.
We would murder each other, you know, cut each other's throats on the radio every day, but then have beers afterwards.
Yo, fake as hell.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, man. This is a check.
Really? See, I didn't get that memo.
Yes.
When I worked at radio stations, there was always a lot of pressure to never speak to other radio talent at other stations.
No.
And I bought into that. I thought, oh, well, you know, if I'm seen with these other people, I could lose my radio job, you know? Mm-hmm. And I sort of like went along with that, like, ooh, we're rivals.
Yeah.
But then
when you're young in the business, you do that.
Oh, you do. You're right.
Yes, I'm old as hell.
Maturing. You look good, though.
But,
you look
great. One thing that I realized about this whole thing, Sarah, is this. You never can tell when you're going to end up at the competition.
Oh, it's the truth.
I'm all about relationships. So if you act like a dick, you know, with so-and-so, you never can tell when you're going to end up working with that person. And I'll tell you this story, okay?
Okay, tell me this story.
This is a true-ass story.
Yes, I want to hear it.
In 1999, I ended up at PGC. I had a great run over there, too.
At PGC, too? I don't think I knew that you worked.
Yes, in 1999, I left KYS.
Okay.
We didn't renew my contract.
Okay.
And so I don't want to call them dummies, but
I hear ya.
They messed up with something in their contracts at Radio 1.
Okay.
That allowed me to go directly to PGC without a non-compete and go on the radio the next day.
That's amazing, because that never happens.
It never happens. But this was in, you know, the golden years when Radio 1 first started.
Sure.
Up with the Easy Street rule that they changed all their contracts. And I got blamed for this.
By other jocks, probably.
Absolutely. I got blamed for it. So the way it happened was I ended up at PGC. And Dirty Rico,
okay.
Who I had problems with in the past when I was on KYS, took me into the copy machine room on the very first day at PGC.
Oh, boy. Was Dirty Rico, like, you're kind of a tall guy. I didn't realize you were that tall. You're like a pretty big dude in real life. Was Dirty Rico tiny? Because a lot of radio men are either like tall and lengthy or like very tiny.
So he took me into this room. He was like, look here, nigga. Oh, can I say that?
Yeah, you can say anything you want. I mean, just as long as everyone knows that wasn't from my mouth. Don't be confused.
He says,
I like to, when people use the N-word on my show, I like to identify that it wasn't me. Okay, I have enough problems.
So he says, look here, nigga. He said, all that other shit that was going, can I say that word too?
Yes, of course you can say anything you want.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
We're 1,000% unfiltered.
Oh, wow. I hope my mom's not listening. Hey, mom, tune out right now.
Easy's mom needs to tune out.
All right. So he takes me into this room. He was like, look, I know we had beef in the past, but now you with us. On day one.
Really?
Day one at PGC.
Wow.
Rico. And to this day.
Wow.
To this day, me and this, I will shed blood for this guy.
Really?
Yes. Rico, I love that guy. That's my brother.
Wow. Radio rivals to then, like, just brothers.
But that kind of taught me, he taught me something when he did that.
Well, basically that, like we were talking about, basically yes. all of life and all these like so-called feuds are all fake, really.
Right. So don't act like a dick because you never know when you're going to end up working over there.
I wish I'd gotten that memo when I was 25.
This is all about relationships.
It is all about
It's all about relationships. And once you burn these bridges with people and, you know, you act all crazy, next thing you know, you're working next to these people.
Yeah, I know. I wish someone had told me that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to, you know what, since we know podcasts are all about stories, I'm going to give you another one.
Yes, tell me.
It's not going to cost you nothing for free, okay?
Okay.
And here's the lesson in all this. So there is a certain program director.
Okay.
That came to KYS.
Okay.
For his second time. I'm not going to say the names of these individuals. He comes to KYS for his second time to program the radio station.
Okay.
He sends a bouquet of flowers to the program director at PGC and says, I'm back. I'm going to kick your ass. It's over.
Ow.
Yes. About a month later, the program director from PGC got hired as a senior VP of Radio 1. How do you think that shit ended up?
Oh, my God. That is so radio.
Yes.
What did they do once they became, once that guy, it was a guy, right? That became
We knew his days were numbered.
Oh, my God. And he turned around and canned him.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
he had to go.
Stuff.
Somebody had to go off the island.
Wow. Well, look, I'm thrilled that you are here. You know, I was saying to the Leslie. Leslie is our digital content creator. She's in studio today. Rofo is here. Rob Ford.
What up, Rob?
Is helping out. And I was saying to these guys, you know, I listened to you when I was co-hosting the Kane Show.
You were like 12 years old?
No, I was here in, let's see, I would have been on Kane. I started on Kane Show in 2007. I would listen to you every day, you know, when I was doing errands around town. And I always wanted to come in because you had a very, and people are even saying it on here. Like, people are like, thanks for letting a sister roll. Like, people are on the Facebook. Your famous tagline was always, thanks for rolling with a brother.
Yep.
And I always wanted to call in and say that. But I thought, he's going to be like, who in the hell
say
is this
now.
White
say
chick?
It. Say it right now.
Thanks for rolling with a brother.
All right. Thank you.
Loved it. Do you still use that? Because
yes,
everybody in D.C. knew that tagline.
Yes. And there's a reason why. And it, I probably shouldn't be saying this shit.
Oh, say it. It's
I'm
on the podcast.
I'm just going to. All of my secrets are out the damn
yes.
window today. Okay. So here's how I came up with thanks for rolling with a brother. And here's why.
Okay.
I won't mention any names. But if you've been in D.C. for a very long time and you were here in the 90s and you remember who I was competing against...
Well, in the 90s, okay, no, I wasn't.
Please don't
here.
Say his name. He might be on your Facebook.
Well, the only person I remember is Tigger, but you weren't.
No, it was somebody before Tigger.
Who? You have to
I'm
say it now.
I'm not going to say his name.
Was this person in hip hop or were they in?
He was on PGC doing Afternoon Drive versus me in 19.
It's LBD.
Oh, why did you say his name? Damn
I know exactly
it.
Who you're
Damn
talking.
You,
oh, it's
Sarah.
LBD. Somebody message Facebook, you know, okay. LB, get him on the Facebook.
So
I want him to call in right now.
I came into the market.
You guys were radio rivals, I bet.
Yes, we were. And I wanted to shake shit up. So I was like, how can I position myself in a way to say, hey, I'm the real hip hop guy over here.
Right.
That guy over there. He's not the real shit. He's the fake one. He's the imitation. He's not the
Are
real
you
one.
Telling me it's me. It's LBD was fake as shit.
Well, from a hip hop standpoint, this guy would be listening to hip hop during his show. But when his ass rolled out, he was in the car listening to AC/DC. We knew that. And that's cool. I love AC/DC.
But you're like, yeah, what are you?
So I positioned myself in a way that I wanted to be able to send a message to, hey, you are rolling with the brother.
Got it.
And so I came up with the phrase. I had my son say it. Brother, thanks for rolling with me. That's my son.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that's
my... That's how you came up with it. That's very
yes.
cool. That was very smart of
it's
you.
Strategic, man. This is
very
strategy.
Strategic.
Yeah, I am the Bill Belichick of radio.
Oh, well, God, I'm going to need some suggestions. I feel like I have no strategy. I just come on. So, look, we're going to talk to Easy more about his radio career. I had no idea who Easy's daughter is. In fact, you can hear her weekly on DC Radio Airwaves. So we're going to talk about that. But also, I just really like you as a person. I followed you on Instagram for a while. I followed your career. You're very spiritual. You're very open, which I appreciate. I think that you embrace everyone despite color, background. And I just really like that about you. So you've got some really cool things that you're working on in the DC community. You're such an advocate for people here. So we're going to talk about that. And then I want to get your opinion, too, on the Caps had a crazy, they won the Stanley Cup last weekend. They've been partying nonstop.
I want to get into bed with the Stanley Cup. Damn it. Ovechkin.
What would you do if you had the Stanley Cup yourself for, like, what do they have it for, 48 hours
or something?
What would you do with it?
Can I say that on this podcast?
Yeah, sure.
Well, we saw the photo.
Actually, let's bring it up right now. Ovi was in bed with the Stanley. I know.
Yes!
Like, who wants that Stanley Cup after that?
Yes! You know what? I would do the same damn thing.
I would. Wait, would you have sex with the cup?
Yes, I would probably try. I'm a man, damn it. This is what we do.
I would try to have sex with the cup as well. That's what I was thinking. I was like, they leave these guys alone with that cup. It must be, like, does anyone use a blue light after? This thing must be so, like, covered with stuff.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want Ovi's sloppy seconds.
Ooh.
Look, he's in there, and I love Snoop Dogg, by the way. Snoop Dogg put up the picture of Ovi in bed with the cup. If you're on our Facebook Live, of course, you guys know by now, every Monday and Wednesday, I stream the show live on Facebook on my Sarah Fraser page. You've probably seen this image. If you haven't, it's on Snoop's Instagram for sure, and he's basically saying
He looks wasted.
He looks
Look
so
at his
hammered.
Eyes. He's got the missing tooth.
Oh, he looks so... I like he doesn't even bother to put his tooth in.
You know what?
He's like, screw the tooth. I got the Stanley Cup.
He's like, yo, it is what it is. I'm the champion. I got the cup here with me. It don't matter.
Snoop's basically saying someone needs to get the Stanley Cup a plan B. Oh, my God. I died.
But you know what?
Thing is pregnant.
On some sports shit, I love this story. I love with the Capitals won. But the fact that our team... These guys are setting a standard, and I hope the Redskins see this shit. I hope the Wizards see this.
I know.
See how the players, they were on top of freaking Cafe Milan down the street with the cup. I mean, Ovi is swimming in a fountain. Can you imagine John Wall doing that? No.
So what do you think? You think these guys just have really, like, you know, let down the guard and just, like, enjoyed it and having fun? And I loved the image, too, of Ovi at Nats Park holding up the cup, like, in a section where it's just Ovi. Like, they're totally, they're loving every second. And you think other teams don't do that?
Well, we need to. We have to win first, but I'm just saying the connections, even before they won this cup, though, we know that some of the Washington Capitals would catch the Metro to the game.
Yes. Yes. You liked that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I don't want to say they're coming down to our level, but they're just showing a side that we haven't seen from other individuals in the sports world in D.C.
I really agree with you. And that's a part that I didn't really think about. Is like how connected they really are to the audience.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why everyone's going so crazy about this.
Yeah.
Including me. And I'm not even a hockey fan.
I'm not either. I got on the bandwagon way
late. Oh, me too. But, you know, I went to a hockey game one time. Guess who I went with?
Oh,
she's on television. Let's see if you guys can figure it out.
Ooh, she's on TV. Oh, my God. She's an anchor. I'm going to say Sean Yancey.
Nope.
She work at Fox 5?
She used to work at Fox 5. Now you know who it is.
She used to work at Fox 5. No, I don't. I'm drawing a blank. Who left Fox 5?
Julie Wright.
Oh, Julie Wright.
Julie took me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she busted my cherry. She busted my hockey cherry. She did.
She would take you. Well, look, I'm with you, Easy. It has been amazing following the Caps. I think this is great. I loved the video of them in the fountain down at Georgetown getting drinks and just, like, enjoying it. I mean, Ovi looks like he's been on a bender for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, the face is getting really puffy. The body is puffy. Yes. Like, it's just like, okay, anytime you want to sleep, Ovi, go for it.
He's not.
No way.
Not until after tomorrow.
So look, I want to also see if we can get AJ. I'm going to just kind of tell you a couple stories and thank a couple sponsors, but AJ is our producer on this show. I was telling you, Easy, when we were in the green room before you were coming on, that AJ is going, she's in California, and she's going to get her first tattoo ever, I believe today. I don't know if her parents
know this.
Do
we need to pray for her right now?
Yes, we really do. Okay, let's say prayer.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus to honor you, to magnify you, to glorify you, to praise your holy name. We ask that you stretch your hands, Lord. Is this sacrilegious for me to do this, to pray about a prayer, about a girl getting a... Be right with her when she gets that tattoo.
You can get hepatitis C. God's got to be there.
Yeah, he better, please. We need you, Lord.
Amen. Pray for me, too.
Amen. We will pray for you. Everybody on this show is very spiritual and religious, but I can't wait to talk to you about that, too, because I love that you post about that. A lot of people don't post about that.
And I'll tell you the story behind that, too.
So anyway, I want to see if we can get her on the phone. She lives with her parents. Her parents are very protective of her. They're very religious themselves, very, very Catholic. They go they go to like 7-hour masses.
Ooh,
I don't even know where you
that's
find
worse
these
than the black church.
They're giving black church a run for their money. These people are always in church, okay? So I'm very concerned that she hasn't told them and how they're going to react. Like if they
Hello?
AJ?
Sarah?
Oh, God. I can't even believe you're awake. Are you drunk?
Wait.
No, for the first time. For the first time, I've been sober. This is sober in 4 days. It's a weird feeling.
AJ, you're on with Easy Street, DC legendary radio personality.
Hey.
Leslie.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm here.
That's right.
Hey, look, so we're and Leslie's in studio, and Rob, we wanted to ask you, have you got the tattoo, or are you going, and do your parents have any clue?
My parents have no clue, and I still haven't
No, don't
yet,
tell
so
mom and dad, hoping... don't. Don't tell them. You apologize. Oh, that's her right there?
That's her, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, yeah, okay, so now I have questions.
Oh, my God.
I have questions.
I know, isn't she gorgeous?
Absolutely.
Yeah. 23 years old,
oh, yeah,
super
you're so
gorgeous.
Nice.
Got on the Daisy Dukes right there.
I know.
Oh, my God. So, I hate to get racial, but what's your ethnicity?
My ethnicity. I used to tell everybody that I was Brazilian because I thought guys thought that was hotter, but I'm Mexican, and my mom is just Irish German.
Hola, ¿cómo estás, Bonita? I can know what language to speak to.
Well,
you.
That doesn't even work with her because she doesn't even know Spanish.
Oh,
thank you.
My
she doesn't.
God.
No.
Oh, my God.
She's always trying to rat me out.
Thank you.
Wait, I have to say something,
now.
Though.
Okay,
I'm
Leslie, yes.
Like, my heart is aching right now because when I went to Puerto Rico, nobody called me during the show. So, yeah, thank you.
Oh, noted. Okay. Sorry. Next time you go.
Does she know what kind of tattoo she's going to get?
Yeah, AJ, what type of tat are you getting?
So my college roommates, we took a trip out here all together, and we used to call ourselves the mermaids just because we had this one plaque in our house in college. So we were just all going to get a little mermaid.
You're all going to get the little mermaid, like Little Mermaid, the Disney movie?
No, like an artistic
Oh,
kind
okay,
of
so,
mermaid.
Okay, next
you know
question.
What I mean? Yeah.
Location. We want to know.
Yeah, where are you getting it?
Where do you guys think? Yeah, I was
Ooh,
thinking
can
maybe,
I give you some suggestions?
Yes, please.
Is in love
okay,
with you.
So mermaid. We don't want to do the face tattoo like Gucci or nothing like that. We don't want it in the neck area either.
No teardrop, no.
No. We don't want it. Let me see. You have to put it near your waistline somewhere.
I think she should put it on her boobs. Like, she's got
really good
boobs.
No.
Yes.
You have to.
You should.
I would recommend that you put it somewhere where it's not really, like, worth it. The photo I'm looking at right now, I shouldn't be able to see it. Or maybe just a little bit sticking out above your waistline, but somewhere in the...
In the crotch area, essentially.
Yes. I was going to say the JJ area.
In the vajayjay.
No, in the vajayjay.
Are you thinking about getting it on your butt cheek? Really? That mermaid is going to look like a hot mess. It'll start out small and then it will drag way out.
Now I'm visualizing this and I should not be doing that. If she gets it back there.
Oh, wow.
Hey, mermaid, how you doing? Oh, wow. Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Guys, I'm currently right now on the San Diego pier and I'm watching all these surfers.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, maybe you should get it on your butt. That'll definitely be entertaining.
Yes. We need something to look at.
Right.
AJ, this is when your uber religious parents kick your ass out, where are you going to live?
Sarah, with you. What do you mean?
Okay. You're our plan B, Sarah, all the time.
Oh, great. Well, look, we want you to Okay, no problem. You can definitely be there. We want you to have a great time. I know you're having a great time there, and you know, try to remain somewhat sober. We can't wait to see you back, and when are you getting this tattoo? So when is this happening? Today?
Yes, today or tomorrow.
Oh my God, send us photos. I want to see it, and I want to know if it hurts. I feel like it's gonna hurt.
Hell yeah, it hurts.
Oh my God, it's totally gonna hurt.
Yeah, breathe, okay?
Yeah, it's gonna hurt.
Make sure you breathe, okay? Breathe a lot. practice.
Breathe through it. Maybe have a couple of martinis before.
No. Don't do that. Oof. I wouldn't drink before.
Oh, okay.
I know people do that. That's a thing. But to me, that only just escalates the pain. Yeah, it does.
Oh, really? Oh, I would never even know that. Okay, I'm not doing that.
Okay, well, good luck.
Yeah, I'm headed to L.A., and I'm going to say hi to Irene. I'll send pics of that, too.
Okay, send us pictures. Good luck, honey. We just, I can't wait to see this mermaid tattoo. She's hot, though, isn't she?
Yeah.
Easy.
Absolutely.
That is so nice. Love you.
Bye, hon.
All right, bye-bye.
Easy, what's your deal? Are you dating anybody these days?
I'm like, single.
Are you? Is 23 too young?
23, yeah, for me, yeah, I can't.
I know.
You know, okay, so true story. Like, I've had some young chicks try to throw it at me. I just
too
can't.
Young.
I can't do it. I can't. I mean, my youngest daughter is that age. I just can't imagine. That's a little creepy. And I know as people get older, you know, like you hear these stars like Robert De Niro, whatever, these other guys, you know, they have these young wives and all of that. But I just can't. I can't do it.
What's your age cutoff, by the way? Like 30, 35? Like, where are you at?
Ooh, I'm going to say you have to at least be 27, 28.
That's good.
Yeah, but I'm not actively, like, seeking or anything. I'm not on the chase and no.
Yeah, I know. Just live your life. And if something comes along and it works if not.
I know that's like kind of like against, you know, biblical terms because you're supposed to find, the man is supposed to find the wife.
The woman.
But I'm not looking, so I guess that just means that I'm not trying to be married.
Well, you know, it's hard to follow the Bible all the time.
Absolutely. I
just pick one. Thou shalt not kill. I just keep it one at a time. We got to thank a couple of our sponsors before we get into some stories and then more about Easy Street's career and what he's up to now. Misty Blue Boutique. You can go to mistybluebf.com. She is unbelievable, local owned in Maryland, also female owned business. And all my OOTDs that you see on my Instagram at Hey Frage are from Misty Blue BF. She has sizes from 4 to 24, which is why I wanted to partner with her because everybody's body is different. We should celebrate all body types. I'm all about it. And as someone, I've been a 4 to an 18. So believe me, I need fluctuation. So she is terrific. You can use the code HEYFRAGE. You get 15% off everything. She has accessories, shoes, the whole nine yards. Also, Mark Livingstone from Cornerstone First Financial. He was on here last Wednesday. A lot of our listeners are becoming homeowners for the first time, sometimes the second time. And you need somebody who can really handle your mortgage needs. They do everything for mortgage and loan. They're actually right here in the Podcast Village building. He's going to be at our live podcast show this Sunday night at DC Improv. But you need to go to heyfrage.com and then boop right there in the corner. You'll see a picture of Mark Livingstone. You can apply for your mortgage. I've been working with Joanna in his office. All of the fees up to $450 are completely waived and they help get you pre-qualified and everything. So then when you find the house, you can put in a bid immediately and you're not sort of scrambling. So they're really terrific. So thank you guys for sponsoring the show today. Easy, a couple stories I want to get your opinion on. Now, you are a single man.
Yes.
And I feel like you're very respectful, so I don't think you would be doing this, but there's a new survey that now says that 10% of people are openly admitting to checking their phone during sex.
Ooh, hell no. See, at this point in my life, I'm really focusing.
Really?
I'm focusing.
Like, but so now but I'm
if,
like,
if, I mean, if I lose focus, it might not be good for you. It might not be good for you.
Like, you've got to stay at the test.
If I start getting on my timeline, like, wait a minute, hold on.
You've got to be. Well, here's what they say. They said that the people that are most guilty are now 18 to 34-year-olds. Okay, they're twice as likely to check their phone during sex. This blows my mind.
You know,
because
somebody did that. Let's go through the scenario before you launch
in. Go for it.
Okay. You're at my house.
All right, sounds good to me.
We're in bed.
Mm-hmm.
We're having sex.
All right.
You pick up your phone. You got to get the hell out. Joe, you out of here. Get out of my
crib. You would kick a woman out
if she
Wait. What if, like, but see,
you
my gotta thing
go
is,
because I don't have your undivided attention. And this is an intimate, spiritual, you know, type of a moment here.
What if I'm a doctor, though? Come on. Like, I feel like they do these surveys, and they don't really tell you why the people are checking their phone. Are you just checking your phone to, like, update Instagram? Or
are you taking,
like,
pictures of me on the down low with your phone? Oh, hell no. So you can post that shit? Hell no.
I would.
No. Women do that, too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Have you ever had a woman, like, you think secretly trying to take photos of you?
Yes. It's happened before.
How'd you catch her?
How did I catch her?
How'd you know she was taking photos of you?
She shared the photos with someone else.
Oh, damn. You must have felt super violated.
I was livid.
I bet you were.
Yes.
It sucks, too, from a man's perspective, I think, because I think there's this whole, like, societal thing where you expect, like, a man maybe to be, like, taking pictures of you or something. But I feel like the men lots of times get, you know, women are, like, trying to take pictures, use it against you. It's that's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it before. You've seen, like, professional athletes, you know, sleep, like James Harden sleeping, and the chicks over there, like, hell no, man. No, you got to go.
Tristan Thompson at Darna.
Yeah, people are doing this.
And he wasn't exactly sleeping.
That sucks, man.
Yeah.
That really sucks.
All right, so that one's a no for you. How do you feel about this? I feel like this is a major violation, but apparently Uber technology, you know, obviously the Uber rideshare, has been working on a way that they're going to be able to track your patterns to determine if you are drunk, okay? So they're saying by the way you hold your phone, by tracking how often and what times of the week you are asking for an Uber, they're going to be able to tell if you're drunk. And they claim this is just basically like so they can understand your going out patterns more. But a lot of people feel like this is basically going to be a warning for drivers. So now they no longer have to pick you up if you're drunk.
Right.
Are you for that or against it?
Oh, I'm for that from a business standpoint, because the reality of it is one thing that I've learned in life is all money ain't good money. It's not.
Oh, that's good advice, actually.
Yes. I learned that from the program director that I told you about earlier that got fired because he sent the roses.
He was there for like 4 days.
I learned it from his ass.
Really?
Yes.
So he did have some good advice.
Yes, he did. All money ain't good money. And from a business standpoint, if you're an Uber driver, someone gets in your vehicle and they want to act like an ass, and next thing you know, something happens and then now you have to litigate.
So you're for, but then I think to myself, how are drunk people going to get home though? Like, is this going to really make young people more responsible for their drinking? Because essentially that's what drivers have complained about, right? People get in the vehicle, they throw up, they're belligerent, they're violent, they don't really put in the right address.
Anything can happen.
So in one way, I understand what the drivers want. But then in the other way, I've been that drunk in person.
Right.
And it's like, well, how the hell would I get my ass home?
From a company and a business standpoint, if I'm the CEO and president of Uber, and I just saw those commercials on TV, and you want to make things better for your company to be able to survive and thrive and be in business, you have to protect your ass.
Yeah, it's so...
You really have to from a business standpoint, because you don't... I mean, all it takes is like one really, really bad thing to happen, and then you're out of business. One bad thing.
So you're for... I'm going to be curious. If you're on Facebook Live, I'd love to know, do you think this is a good idea? Uber is developing this software. They're going to be able to tell if you're drunk. Right now, of course, they're saying, oh, we're not going to use it, you know, except for to basically market to you. But a lot of people feel like this is their way of, if you're too wasted, they're just not going to pick you up.
Yeah, there's exposure to liability. Any attorney could tell you that. Oh, yeah.
I'm not an attorney
at all. But.
Paul, by the way, is on the Facebook. He says, what a great show. Jalen says, oh, my gosh, love the show as well. LBD just joined as well. He said, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm out of here. Damn it, man.
He's got a message. It's me. It's LBD. No, He's gonna blow up my shit. I'm such a shit starter. Oh my God, I'm the worst. Now look, you have two children. How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three kids.
Yes.
People were going bananas over the weekend. Kat Von D. I don't know if your daughter is into her makeup at all or not, but she has a huge makeup empire. She's very like goth looking. You probably know her if you saw her. And I think she had an affair with Jesse James, maybe while Sandra Bullock was with him, or maybe like post Sandra Bullock. Okay, so she put up a post over the weekend essentially talking about that she is pregnant with her first child. She is vegan. She's going to raise the child vegan, and she's not going to vaccinate. And she's received a ton of backlash, so much so that she ended up putting up this picture and basically said, look, if you don't like my views, unfollow me and move the F on.
Right.
I am over talking to you guys about my choices. But a lot of people feel like this is really dangerous as a public figure, that she will not vaccinate her kids. And then she's going to take her children and expose her kids to somebody else.
Right.
What do you think? Like, do you believe in all the anti-vax stuff? Like, how do you? I mean, I know that's like kind of a tough question as a dad, but
okay.
I have thoughts on this.
True story. Being in the radio business, you know how some of our advertisers would come to the radio station,
and
I won't mention the grocery store.
Oh, okay.
As red in the logo.
Safeway.
Damn you. So they come by and they're like, "Well, hey, it's that time of the season for the vaccinations. You know, everyone get your flu shot." you know, let's go ahead and make sure that everyone's all vaccinated. And they're like, yo, do you want to take the shot? Yeah, what the fuck, man? I'll take a shot.
Yeah, why not?
Give me two shots.
Double up on the
exactly.
flu vaccine.
Here you go. A week later, I got sick.
Oh, you did?
Yes, because they give you the flu to protect you from the flu, which is...
Right, you're like, how does this work?
Right.
But here's... So,
you can become immune to it once they give it to you.
Right.
And so I understand the whole thing, but as far as her, you know, that's her life. That's her choice.
I agree.
That's her child. And whatever she wants to do, that is her prerogative. And really, we don't have anything that we can say, but people could talk about it. But at the end of the day, she can do what the hell she wants to do.
I'm always amazed that people, like, hop on here and give... Well, I guess it works two ways. You know, obviously you're a celebrity. So if you put up anything as a celebrity, you know people are going to comment on it.
Right.
But then it blows my mind. Like, people go in on all these responses. And my thing is this. If Kat Von D, she's become like a multimillionaire from this makeup line, right? Do you really think, like, her kids aren't going to public schools.
No.
They're probably going to be homeschooled or privately schooled with other kids who are raised vegan. But people are, like, losing their shit. Like, oh, you're going to send your child out. They're going to be exposing other kids potentially to measles or mumps. And it's like, this kid isn't leaving, like, her little goth, you know, like, I don't know. She's probably got, like, a bat cave in there where she's going to raise it or something. Like, why? I just don't understand why
downside,
people are so upset.
The downside of social media. Everybody wants to be a star. Everyone wants to talk shit. They can be able to do this from the comfort of their home or wherever they are to talk as much shit as they want to, and you're just a name on the screen.
Yeah.
But would you say that shit to my face?
Never. They never would.
That's what I always tell people. You want to talk shit? Yo, here's my location, bro.
They never show up.
They never show up.
I agree with you. Doesn't that drive you nuts as a public figure? It drives me bananas.
It's okay. I don't trip, man. I don't take it personal at this
point. I'm coming
to
your church because you're so zen, and I'm like, oh, God, it infuriates me. So last week was a crazy week with celebrity suicides. Anthony Bourdain.
Oh,
were you
sad
at all a fan of Bourdain's?
I really wasn't a fan of him. I didn't watch the show. I knew about him.
Sure.
I'm not really a big cooking, you know, and I know that he was on CNN. But the story, though.
The story was, I mean, we haven't done a podcast.
I wanted to know why he did it. And
me too.
Okay, so the story is this. They reported that he had spoke about suicide several times over the course of his life.
Right.
It was something that he had vocalized before, and he had problems with his wife before, and that was the issue. There was a woman that was involved, and he had shared that with her.
Right.
And so he had been talking about this for a really long time. We know that drugs and alcohol was involved as well.
Yep.
And, you know...
Yeah, I know. It's
very sad, man.
It is so sad because he was just such an advocate for the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. He just was really about humanity and taking us to places all over this world that, you know, quite frankly, I'd never heard of many of them. And, you know, exposing us to cuisines and people's lifestyles and, you know, just making the world more connected. You know, according to a report out of France where he was found in a hotel, they say there was no evidence at this point of any foul play. They believe that he hung himself with a bathrobe string or the tie around the bathrobe. But I thought two interesting things. One, they say that since Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain's suicides, that the calls in to suicide hotlines have been up 25%. And then I thought this was interesting. From Psychology Today, they did a story on how that a lot of times when suicidal people hear these stories of people going through with it, it actually tips them over the edge.
Mm-hmm. Like copycats.
Right, like copycats.
Well, the same thing with the shooter situation. That's why.
Yes.
And think about what the changes that the media has made in regards to reporting about not saying the name of the shooter because they don't want to give them what they want, fame or whatever, to make them famous.
Right.
Because a lot of times, so it's the same kind of a thing.
God, do you think we should do that when it comes to suicide? I mean, these people are just so impactful in our society. It's like, how do you not expose that? But Psychology Today was essentially saying, this is what I was kind of getting at, is that people who are dealing with depression, on the edge of suicide, actually respond better to stories of people who almost took their lives but then came back and fixed it. So my thought is I'd love to get somebody on this show who has had that experience, who's come very close, whether it's been through battling depression or, you know, almost taking their lives but came back. Because I think if we can tell a story like that,
yes,
and you never know who's listening, who that tips them in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of that. So if you are listening or you know somebody who's willing to share their story publicly, my email is always sarah@heyfrage.com. It's sarah@heyfrage.com. But I thought we could do that instead of kind of, you know, because I'm like everybody else. I hear these stories and I'm like, you know, what happened? You know, like, I want to know more. And people, at least a lot of psychologists are saying that actually sometimes leads people more to do it versus not.
Well, I'm glad you're going to talk about that because that's something that I've been passionate about for a very long time.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, I would just be sending out, like, I'd have my tweets programmed out to give you here are the hotline numbers.
Right, for the suicide prevention.
Line. Or if you wanted to take a test. Actually, this is a true story. When I started that campaign a couple years back, I got a DM from a young lady that told me a story that that she saw my tweets about suicide.
Oh, wow.
And there's a test that you could take. I put a link in one of the tweets where you could go and find out if there was something like wrong with you mentally so you could be able to detect it, so you could be able to, you know... And sure enough, she took the test and found out that she had like a mental disorder, and she got help, and she hit me up and said she wanted to say thank you for that. Yes.
Wow. I know. Isn't that the power of radio
and
the power of connecting?
It really is. But that's why it's important for us to use these platforms to be able to enhance people's lives and to empower them. I mean, a lot of people use it for negative. That's why I started my inspirational post in the morning time because, you know, people are so stressed out about, you know, life, about what the president's saying, about what happened last night with their girlfriend or their boyfriend, or having financial problems, or just having problems, you know, as a whole. And I wanted to try to find a way to be able to give people some hope.
Right.
You know, to give you some things to smile about.
And I think, too, what a lot of people don't realize, and you and I were talking about this, and we're gonna get into more about your career, where you are now, all the great things you're doing for D.C. as a community. But, you know, you were saying this in the green room, and that is, you know, a lot of people are just beginning to realize, like, a lot of this crap on TV and a lot of these feuds and a lot of these even inflated album numbers, it's all fake. Like, it all can be manipulated. And I think lots of times you buy into thinking that's real. Like, how do I measure up when it seems like all these people are having incredible success? But like you and I said, with whether it's Kanye's album or Pusha and Drake, a lot of times everybody's in on it.
Right.
But we don't, you know, it's easy to get caught up thinking that's real.
Well, I mean, well, we know that drama sells.
Right.
You know, that this is a cornerstone of hip hop, of as far as this rapper being against this rapper, them licking shots at one another, making freestyles. It just keeps things going. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, my album's dropping next week.
Kanye.
Like Kanye West.
That stuff.
With his appearance on TMZ, you know, and then the album coming out next.
But you've been in the hip-hop world for a long time. Does that drive you nuts? Like, do you feel like it's getting away from the actual talent and more about all the drama?
Well, I think that this is what some people... This is the mode of how they want to market and promote. I think that... I hate to say this, but the negativity sells. Like... You can post something positive on your Instagram and your Twitter. It might get a couple of likes here, but if you post some negative shit, oh my God, it's just turned into this whole thing. And so I think that these artists play into that. They know that, you know, we're little drama queens. And so, you know, we're going to buy into this, and this is going to keep me relevant. And, you know, this can be able to help us sell records. This can also help us to be able to increase our tour numbers when we go on tour, to sell tickets for concerts and everything. And that's what Pusha T did. He started the beef. He said what he had to say. On the cover of the album, they used Whitney Houston's bathroom photo.
Image,
that I thought that was so disrespectful.
Right.
I am totally against that. And for them to use a photo of Whitney Houston's bathroom, the way that looked, I think that was very degrading. I'm disappointed in Kanye West for allowing that to happen through his label, and Pusha T for doing it. I'm not a fan of that at all.
Yeah.
However, I know what they're trying to do. But at the end of the day, if the music ain't good, we're not fucking listening. We're not.
Do you think Kanye's, because we see now every day, he went to number one on iTunes.
I think those numbers are fake.
Were you at all into his album? You think it's any good?
Uh-uh. I don't. I don't.
I love it.
And I can name three other albums that are way better right now than Kanye's album. Okay, we were talking about this yesterday.
When you say it's fake, do you believe whether it is Kanye himself, Kim, an orchestrated thing, they are buying
absolutely.
Or buying streams to make
Jay-Z,
that number Jay-Z's one.
Jay-Z's done this too. Jay-Z,
we were talking about that with
Rihanna's
Tidal.
Done this. Yeah. This has been going on rampant in the business for a long time. The numbers are getting boosted.
But how do they keep getting away with it? That's such crap. Like, to me, I'm like, you know, I sit there still and get fooled. You know, I'm thinking, oh my God, whether it's Rihanna or it's Beyonce got like 100 million streams on Tidal. And then you see these stories coming out and going, well, they actually had this web guy who was inflating the numbers, because if it was true, everyone who subscribed to Tidal would have to listen to Beyonce like 11 hours straight
right.
a day.
Or when you get a deal with Samsung and they want to give the album away for free to everyone that has a Samsung phone, how do you think they get the track? Samsung pays for it.
Yeah.
They pay for those tracks. And now your numbers are inflated.
Damn. Yes. That is just so fake.
It's been going on for a long time, though.
And not just in hip-hop. You think it's in every genre of music?
Everyone's doing
pop
that.
Music, whether it's Taylor Swift, whether
everyone's
it's
doing
Jay-Z.
Everyone's doing it. And the reality of it is, it's really not about the record sales at all anymore, because you're not really selling the record, the music industry, when they're selling these tracks, they're not really making money off of that. The real money is in touring.
Right.
Okay, you get these numbers up, you say you're number one, you know what, now we're on tour, come out and pay this, you know, extravagant amount of money for these damn tickets.
$400 to go see it.
By the way, I'm doing a contest right now for Beyonce and Jay-Z tickets on my Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, well, give out your Twitter and Instagram.
At Easy Street on everything, yeah.
At Easy Street. Catherine is going to be, I don't know if she's on the phone yet, but Darkness to Light is an organization that I'm a part of, and I'm going to be hosting their event coming up June 21st. So we're going to have Catherine, who's the head of Darkness to Light. They work to knock out child sexual abuse, to end it. So it's going to be a great night. We're going to get her on the phone. But tell us this, where can people, you know, a couple of years ago, you exited from 93.9. After
yes.
your a long run mm-hmm. there for the second time, where can people hear you now? You're now with HUR, right?
Yeah, 96.3 WHUR. Sounds like Washington. Catch me on Saturdays from 4 until 8 p.m. And I love it. I enjoy it.
So you love staying involved in the radio
yes.
business, despite all of the ups and downs of the radio business that you and I
yes,
know very
absolutely.
Well.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, one thing that I learned through this whole process is this. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yes.
You know, and I think that God blesses us with several different passions. And I think what happens is, a lot of times we just get caught up into one thing and thinking, oh, radio, this is all I can do. Oh, no. There are other things that you enjoy, like foods. You don't just like tacos.
Right. Right.
You like tacos. You like pasta. You like, you know, you may like a soul food. You like these different types of things. Well, I found out that I like social media. I found out that I, you know, have a flair and a passion for being involved in the community and helping other people. And all you have to do is, once you find out what these other passions are, find a way to make money doing that.
Right.
That's how you get happiness.
I want to talk about that. Is Catherine's on the phone right now, because this is actually going to tie into something that you're working on, Easy, that you haven't really talked a lot about publicly, but we're going to talk about it today. And that is a program where you're helping people who are on probation or prisoner, or basically people who are just coming out of federal prisons. So we're going to talk about that. But Catherine, you're on right now live on the Hey Fresh podcast. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you, Sarah?
Good, hon. You are live with Easy Street, longtime DC radio personality. I was just telling Easy, Darkness to Light is an organization I am so happy to be a part of. You are working to end child sexual abuse, and you've got an event coming up June 21st that I'm going to host. But can you tell us really quickly just about Darkness to Light, like how this organization came about and how you're working? I mean, you know, child sexual abuse, I had a great childhood. I don't know what it's like to be a victim of this, but I have many girlfriends, I have many friends who have been. And, you know, sexual trauma as a kid is just so damaging and stays with you for life. So how are you guys working to end that?
That's a great intro. So 17 years ago, our founder decided that they were done treating children at child advocacy centers. And they introduced this training where we educate adults to how to prevent it. Don't even let them get to the point where they need treatment. And so they bring you through this training that has 5 steps, where you learn the facts, minimize opportunities. So at daycares or YMCAs, are you making sure that they've got prevention policies? Are you talking about it with your kids? Are you making sure that you know, I heard Easy say vajayjay already today, and we got to say vagina. We got to say penis.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we're okay. Wait, why do we have to say
no
those?
Nicknames, man.
That's a good question.
Why no nicknames? Oh, my God. I say it all the
because
time, too.
It's horrible, and I, you know, it's hard to talk about, but we've had instances where kids go to teachers and say that their daddy ate their cookie. And cookie doesn't mean cookie. Or in Spanish, when you translate, a lot of Mexicans say little birdie. So when you translate into English, you say, well, someone touched my little birdie. In fact, it should be penis. So really,
wow.
It's so important to talk to your kids about anatomically correct. Yeah.
Because the slang begins to groom them that, like, it's sort of okay, or it's not
exactly.
as... got it. I never knew that.
Interesting.
Yes. So perpetrators use that lack of knowledge to be able to have conversations with the kids.
It does. My mom, I don't make light of it because it really did help me. But when I was younger, my mom literally, I'm not joking. Like, my mom used to think that everyone was out to rape me, which it was like, she was always like, you don't know who this person is. They could be raping you. I'm like, mom,
wow.
Like, what is it? Like,
mom,
everyone.
Chill out.
Yeah, she's like, everyone.
But I understand as a parent though.
You know,
as
everybody
a parent,
was a predator to her. She was like, our neighbor would come over and she's like, why are you speaking to him? Has he ever asked you to go in his house? He could try to rape you.
My ex-wife had a parent like that. So that shit is real.
She
really is.
But, you know, you
it's
said
good,
that.
Though, Sarah. It's probably why you're not a survivor, right? I mean, 90% of kids who are abused before the age of 18 are abused by people they know. Stranger danger, total fallacy.
It's people you know. Why is it so hard for parents to talk to their kids about sexual abuse?
Think about the last time you watched a movie with your parents. Did you ever fast forward through a war scene?
No.
You didn't. So sexual abuse, you fast forward through the sex scenes. A nipple pops out and it's the end of the world. We don't want to talk about sex. Sex is so uncomfortable with your parents. And that we translate that into our kids. You know, we don't want to talk about the real anatomical words because we're ashamed of those words. And so that sort of, we learn from an early age to hide, to make it cute, to put a little sugar on it. And that perpetuates into us being able to protect our kids.
Is there really, you know, I love what you guys are doing. June 21st, it's going to be at Arlington Rooftop Bar and Grill. Tickets right now are $95. They're $115 at the door. That includes all you can drink, all you can eat from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. I'm hosting. And people can go to Darkness to Light, your website, or they can go to Facebook.com, Sarah Fraser. I'm going to put it up to the link to buy the tickets. How do you actually end child sexual abuse? How do we really stop it?
We need to create prevention-oriented communities. So we need to reduce stigma in order to be able to do that. And how you reduce stigma is you talk about it. You know, even just having a conversation today, you talked about suicide prevention. Most of the people that you read, famous people, you read down to the bottom of that article, and I guarantee you they are victims of child sexual abuse. I mean, Chester Bennington, for instance, the lead singer of Linkin Park, he suffered with his struggle from child sexual abuse. The lead singer of the Cranberries, she also was very open about it.
Really?
Being able to have those conversations. I mean, a ton of celebrities are survivors. Drew Barrymore, Tyler Perry, Roseanne Barr, Queen Latifah, Missy Elliott. I mean, they've all come out and talk about it, but they say it and then we forget about it because it's such a hard topic, you know, to be able to sort of wrap your head around. Whereas if we came at it straight on and talked about it and had sort of these, you know, celebrity figures leading the charge, we'd be talking about this as much as we're talking about getting rid of plastic or,
right.
You know, making sure that, you know, the Me Too movement actually included kids versus just focused solely on adult women.
Wow. Oh, my God. Catherine, what you guys are doing is just, it's so extraordinary. I'm honored to be a part of it. I know many from the Hey Frage audience have already bought tickets and are continuing to buy tickets. 100% of all the ticket money for June 21st is going directly to the cause. And what do you guys do with that money? Is that that's for victims, that's for programs? Where's their dollars going?
So it's going to subsidize the training costs. We have a partnership with Ali Raisman, the U.S. gymnast.
Oh,
right,
sure,
now.
Sure, yeah.
If you go to flipTheSwitchCampaign.org, you can go in and take our training for free, and all money raised will go to cover the cost of those trainings.
Wow. Catherine, I can't wait to see you on the 21st. DTL.org is your website. Again, the link to the tickets is on Facebook under my page too, Sarah Fraser. I'm going to put it up again today. We're going to be blasting it all week
Tag
long.
Tag me on all that. I'm in.
I know. What a great.
I'm totally in on all
that. Thank you for enlightening us and educating us. I'm so guilty. I use the slang stuff all the time. And I used to give my mom a really hard time. But, it's not a joke. I mean, I really do think for her. And she had a sister who was a victim of by an uncle, you know, who sexually abused her. And that didn't come out till much later in my family. But very so devastating. And then, you know, like I said, she was always talking to us about this person's going to rape you. Don't speak to anybody. So I was like, oh, terrified.
Yeah, well, that fear is real.
Yeah.
It's very real. And it comes from a real place, too.
It does. Catherine, thank you so much. I'm going to see you on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thanks, hon.
Sounds good. See you all there.
See you then. So I want to shift gears and get back to your career on a little bit lighter note. Your daughter is doing some amazing stuff in DC radio and also the cool program that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit. I had no idea who your daughter is.
Yes.
I had no idea. And she is like now the new voice of 93.9 WKYS.
Yes, she is.
So Little Bacon Bear is your daughter.
Yeah, that is her right there on the left side. On the right side, that's her mother.
Oh, my God.
But that's her on the left side right there. That is Little Bacon Bear. You could hear her on KYS from 7 until 12 every night, except on Sunday.
Oh, she's great. I hear because I'm friends with...
She's killing it.
She's killing it. So how did you... You said you had...
How did I do it?
Yeah, you said you had an interesting story of how...
Yes.
Because she's very young to be on a top 10 radio market at night and doing great.
Yes. So this is how we did it, okay? She had been hanging out with me at the BET Awards for years. Every year was our... That was our signature event together, father-daughter... She'd go to L.A. with me. The people at BET were very gracious to give her press passes to come hang out. And it actually turned into a thing, you know, where other personalities from around the country would bring their children, too, to experience this as well. So she'd come and she would sit down and I let her run the camera. And then after a while, you know, when she got around 17 or 18, I was like, you know, you want to interview Usher?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. In fact, when I landed an interview with the President Barack Obama, I had her on the interview with me, and she asked him a millennial question.
What did she ask him?
She asked him, what could we do to get millennials more engaged into
voting and probably out?
Yeah. So these things, and as I would continue to put her in, I would purposely put her in these positions to do this. Whether it would be BET or at the radio station, I taught her how to run the board. I taught her how to run the board.
Which is huge for women in radio because a lot of women in radio don't run their boards.
Right.
Their own boards.
So
yeah.
She knew how to run the board. One day, someone didn't show up, and I had to broadcast live from so-and-so, and there was no one to run the board. This was during the daytime. This was probably like 2 years ago. And... the program director, shout out to Nikki House. She was like, well, what are we going to do? I was like, yo, she's got it.
Oh,
do you know
God.
That my daughter ran the board and no one knew? She ran the board for a full shift, recorded everything, didn't miss a spot, ran every break. No one even knew that she was doing this. She ran the board on her own. She wasn't even employed by the radio station when she did this. And made no mistakes.
Amazing. You really helped her. Like,
yes.
You just, like, got her right into that.
Right. Okay.
Wow.
So it was all part of my plan because, I need you to get a job so you can get the hell up out of my house.
So you were like, I'm going to teach you this skill and then you're going to get out of here.
Yeah, it's time for you. Here goes, you know, I'm teaching you how to fish. Get your own damn fish. I want my crib to myself.
You had no problems sending her into radio.
No, I didn't. She enjoyed it. She loved the music. I could see she was passionate about it.
Wow. You guys look great. You're up on a picture right now on our Facebook Live. And you
that
look,
was last week.
Oh, my God.
At the,
she's adorable.
Yeah, that's her. In the
wow.
Mirror.
You must be so proud. It must
that's
be great.
That's my ex. But you know what was really
cute? Look at you guys getting along. I love it.
Absolutely, man. We're co-parenting. And you know, who's in the middle right there is the most important.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, so we gotta do what we got to do to make sure we do things right for our daughter.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So the other part of that story is this. In my last negotiation at Radio One, I went to them and I was like, I'll stay, pay me XYZ dollars, and I want you to hire my daughter too.
What'd they say?
No.
They were like, we'll keep your daughter. You're out.
They were like, well, that's what eventually happened. That's
exactly.
What eventually happened.
Like,
so
we'll give your daughter.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what eventually happened. So they were like, no, we can't. We can't do that for whatever reason. I don't know what the reasoning was, but it was okay. But then after I left, they were like, we want her.
Oh,
and
wow.
The GM, the senior VP of programming at Urban One, Jay Stevens, me and him talk. I'm still cool with everyone at radio.
Sure, sure.
Everyone.
Yes.
Jeff Wilson, all these people. We have conversations because, you know, now you have, it's like you don't have easy, but you still got easy.
Right.
To my daughter.
Right.
And so I'll have conversations because, you know, in this business, I want to know how she adjusting. Because, you know, you get in this business, you know, you're just a regular person.
Right.
You get in, now everyone knows who you are.
Yep.
How is your ego adjusting, you know, or how are you working at things out inside the building and everything. So that's the way that I kind of keep an eye on her by staying in contact.
That is so good. She is really lucky to have you as a guide because this business is hard if you don't have a guide. Like that's
how it happened.
Wow. So tell us, not only are you at HUR on Saturdays, but you are getting ready. The program's basically already launched.
Yes.
But you are kind of revving it up with helping people who have just come out of jail, out of federal prisons in some cases, or
yes,
on probation. You are helping them to get a job, right?
Yes.
And kind of reacclimated into the community. Can
yes
you tell us a little bit about this? We're putting up a picture on the Facebook page right now. Tell us a little bit about this. I think this is amazing.
Okay, so the guy on the far right is Tabari Feingold. He's a breathing coach. He teaches artists how to breathe when they're singing or rapping. The big guy right there is DC's number one big daddy, DJ Iron, who I've worked with for years. And the lady on the left is Raquel Brown. She's on Raheem Devon's album, Crossroads, on two songs. She's a spoken word artist. And the other individuals are in the program.
Got it.
A couple years ago, actually 2 years ago, two probation officers approached me. They were like, Easy, we know you care about the community. We know that you are into rap. We know you have a wide knowledge of how the business works. What do you think about putting together a curriculum and a program to be able to teach this to returning citizens, individuals who are currently in the probation system or have been locked up or on parole? And I was like, oh, let me think about it. So I produced this curriculum, kind of like a class for 3 months. I presented it to them, and they loved it.
Wow. Wow.
They fell in love with it. They were like, this is great. So, you know, we worked things out, and I'm about to get a federal grant.
Good for you.
With the federal government, and the program is called CSOSA, and it's located downtown on Indiana, and also there's a location on Taylor Street Northwest and another location in Southeast. The picture up there is a Southeast location. And basically what I'm doing is I'm teaching them about the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teaching them how to rap.
Okay.
Not how to rap, but I'm teaching them how to get their music out, everything that they need to know about the music industry, but also life skills as well, and helping them get jobs.
Yeah.
And helping them get prepared for jobs, because the rate of recidivism in our city is crazy.
I know.
And especially in the black community.
Yep.
So we're trying to break cycles here. A lot of the gentlemen here that you see in this photo, and there's only a couple of them, some of their stories are so compelling. Some of the things that they've shared with me about how they ended up in prison point back to what happened, like them growing up without their father, their mothers being on crack.
Sure.
You know, just crazy stories. And, you know, I'm just trying to help them get back on track.
You are doing a terrific job.
Thank you.
Well, we end the show every Monday with a thing called Pineapple Mail. And
okay,
Pineapple Mail is mail that we get from listeners and from people who just have reactions to different podcast shows.
I like pineapple.
I know, me too, right? So we have and the reason we call it Pineapple Mail is we actually bought this pineapple. It's like an ice bucket, really.
Okay.
But it's in the shape of a pineapple. It's a long story. Okay, easy.
Okay.
So anyway, I want to know your thoughts on this, all right? These are in no particular order. And again, you can always email me, sarah@heyfrage.com. This message says, hey, Frage, I love your show. And I appreciate when you listen to your friends and readers who want to explore another side of an issue with you. So if you'll indulge me, here's mine on the Kate Spade comments you guys recently made, which I think was a couple episodes ago. We were talking, of course, about the passing of Kate Spade and her suicide. On your podcast, you said something along the lines, quote, how could she kill herself? She's a mom. I'm paraphrasing. I'm a mom who's finally coming off Lexapro because I believe I have my depression and anxiety under control. However, I know it's possible it'll creep back. So I'm also on the defensive. Kate Spade and her mental illness for years, had mental illness for years, and succumbed to it by finally committing suicide. Trust me when I say that, of course, she thought about her daughter. She left a note for the young girl. However, Kate was more than a mother, so much more. She was a woman and an individual of a singular human with her own self-interest, demons, passions, dislikes. Maybe I'm sensitive to this because I'm coming off of a couple of years of feeling very at odds with my role as a mom and an individual. It's difficult. I'm currently going through something where I'm considering my daughter, but my own happiness and self-respect has to come first. Being a parent is consuming, but it doesn't have to be all-consuming. In fact, it shouldn't be, because when your child no longer needs you, you're left wondering, who am I? Thanks for hearing me out. Did you ever have any, as a parent of three, did you ever have any moments where you kind of felt like you were losing your identity easy being a father too?
No, not really.
No? You could always kind of keep the two?
Well, a lot of it has to do with my level of spirituality and knowing who I am, knowing that I'm a child of God, and knowing, you know, why I'm here, knowing what my purpose is. And, you know, a lot of that right there, you know, keeps me centered.
So is
and
that
it keeps
what you
me
would,
focused.
That's great. Would you recommend that to this woman? Like,
absolutely.
if you're feeling like you're losing your identity amongst being a parent, you think kind of, you know, finding that spiritual calling is what.
Yes, it's very important. And I think that, you know, not to say that you can be able to pray your problems away. And I got that phrase right there from Shamika Holzkla.
Okay.
You remember Shamika Holzkla, who won the national championship with the Tennessee Volunteers, Pat Summit was her basketball coach.
Oh, sure.
And she
okay.
ended up here in Washington, D.C. as one of the Washington Mystics.
Yes.
She's the one that disappeared for a while. And the team was like wondering where she went. And we found out that she was bipolar.
Yes.
She talked about that in her book, and, you know, she tried to pray away her problems, but that didn't work.
Right.
It didn't. She eventually ended up getting counseling and getting on medication. So it's different for each individual as far as getting the right help that they need. But I think that the level of knowing who you are in God's eyes,
yep.
and understanding that you have worth, that you're valuable, that you're here for a reason, that you're not a mistake.
Yes.
Is big time. And I think a lot of times people lose sight of that.
Yeah, they do.
And every day when I wake up in the morning, I realize that I'm here for a purpose. You know, I'm here for a higher calling. And I think that, you know, a lot of times individuals who commit suicide for whatever reason, you know, sometimes it's connected to them really not understanding who they are from that standpoint.
Right.
Not to say that people who are in church don't commit suicide, because they do too.
Sure. Yes. It's many things, but I like that about really having that purpose and knowing that calling. The second email says, "Hey, Sarah, longtime listener here. I just finished your podcast featuring Ronica Cleary, which was last Wednesday. Wanted to provide some insight. I'm also a former pageant queen competing within the Miss America and Miss USA pageant systems. While I do agree with Ronica that many of the requirements to compete in Miss America system are antiquated, there are other pageant systems that do offer alternatives. For example, the maximum age for Miss USA is 27, may have changed since my time. And there's also pageant systems that are geared toward married women and or women with children. We spoke about last week how Miss USA got rid of, or Miss America got rid of, the swimsuit competition and gown. If you truly love competing in the community service and outreach that comes along with winning the crown, then you'll continue to find pageants and systems that accommodate the different stages in your life. I don't agree with the decision to remove the swimsuit and evening gown portions, as they are the most fun parts to watch and participate. But I appreciated Paul's suggestion that the pageant maybe trying to send the message that they are trying to change how women are perceived and valued in our society. In regards to body shaming as well, and even the Me Too movement, I will say that it seemed it was unfortunate that Ronica didn't seem to really want to hear Paul's opinion and kept cutting him off. But I will chalk it up to being passionate, given that she is a former queen. I agree that the majority of the country doesn't even know the difference between Miss America and Miss USA and couldn't pick them out of a lineup. I couldn't.
That's true.
I couldn't at all. And then lastly, we have one from Instagram, and this woman writes, this is no offense to you, Easy, but she writes, "Enough with all of your guests. You're an amazing talent and a great entertainer. You don't need a guest on Monday's show. We love listening to you, AJ, and Leslie. I enjoy this show so much better when it's the three of you." Okay, well,
can I leave now? You know, I feel like crap now.
Well, no offense to
I gotta
you,
go, man. Wow. Talk about shots fired.
I just thought I'd throw that one out there. Look, Easy. You're terrific. Thank you so much for being on. Everyone can follow you on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. It's at Easy Street, E-Z-S-T-R-E-E-T.
Yes.
You are really, thanks for doing everything that you do. Thanks for rolling with the brother.
Oh.
Love you. And I think LBD is coming back as big chubby bear. He's going to go against your daughter. What would you
do? Love you too. What up, Justin?
Bye, you guys. Follow us on social media. It's at HeyFrage, the Andrea J. Lopez. You can see her. She's getting a tattoo today of a mermaid. Oh, my God. That thing is going to start as a small mermaid, and by the time she's 60, it's going to have so many fins. Oh, God. It's going to be awful.
Love your show.
Hit it early, Easy, because that thing, the older you get, these tattoos.
Wow. I'm done.